Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, there is a question from Krishna Pavan Prabhu. The dust
Krishna.
From
Krishna
Pavan Prabhu. So Pavan Krishna Prabhu.
Oh, all right.
Yes, Pavan Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
The dust from lotus feet of Vaishnava. What does it mean?
Well, not discounting the literal meaning, but really it means to come in connection with the Vaishnava, and even the least aspect of the Vaishnava, that this will introduce all auspiciousness into one's life. Like we hear the Usanga Saru Sangha Sarva Shastakai Lavastakai Lava Matra Saru Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That a moment's association with a substantial devotee, Sarva Siddhi, one can achieve all perfection. So there's literal meaning and what's the opposite of literal?
Figurative.
Huh?
Figurative.
And as I say, we don't discount the literal meaning, the dust. But what type of dust is that? If we say Vaikuntir Prithivyadi Sakula Chinmoy, that the soil of Vaikuntha is Chinmoy, right? Then what's the least in this world, what's the least aspect is dust, right? When they talk about, you know, literally dust. That, look, what is that saying in the Bible about from dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return? Is that correct? Any biblical scholars in the audience? Something like that, right? It rings a bell. Anyway, as I said, if the soil of Vaikuntha is Chinmoy, then we understand that, and that means spiritually conscious substance enriched with dedicating tendency. So then the dust on the feet of a devotee must be spiritually conscious substance enriched with a dedicating tendency. So in the proper sense, what does it mean to come in connection with a devotee? They're the personification of a particular aspect of self-giving. Otherwise, why are they qualified as devotee? Devotion, devoted. Those who are dedicated, devoted. I found it interesting in the MIDI, but maybe not limited to MIDI, but these sort of digital consideration. They would call the dedicated unit, there were slave units. There's like one original and then so many slaves, but in the good sense. When Guru Maharaj talks about Jive Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas, Krishna, yeah, eternal servant of Krishna, by the way, of which Saraswati Thakur says, everyone is. From his angle of vision, he says, not only that, but the natural implication, he says, everyone is a Vaishnava. But there are those who are in remembrance of divine servitude, and forgetfulness of the same. Guru Maharaj, so for Prabhupada, and in general everyone, rendering das or dasi as servant. But Guru Maharaj, his almost default favorite word for this was slave. And when we hear that, that's, anathema to the Western mind particularly. Because they're saying, slavery, we overcame that hundreds of years ago, and now we have democracy, where every man is king. That's their slogan sometimes. But slave, sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, our target has become the happy dancing slaves of Krishna and Vrindavan. In the Sanskrit dictionary, comes to mind with dasi. Almost the first definition, it'll say slave girl. I like that a lot. That would be easily misunderstood in modern context. But if someone says they're a slave of beauty, we think, oh, how nice. What a nice concept. They interview some artist or fashion designer, photographer, and they say, actually, I'm a slave of beauty. And everyone's like, oh, how wonderful. But if we say, slave of Krishna, oh, that can't be good. Not the slave of another person. Well, but what if beauty could be personified? What about beauty? If it's okay to be a slave of beauty in principle and esteemed, you could say, right? There's a word like that in aesthetics, esteemed. So that's all right. But if that beauty is personified, then you should be suspicious of that. Jnane prayasamudapasana manteva. Don't be suspicious of beauty personified. If, in fact, there is such a thing and you have hopes to deal with that person in a substantial way. So Srila Guru Maharaj, in response to the accusation that Gaudiya Math, this was the accusation of the British saying, after they observed Gaudiya Math, you're preaching slavery. Divine or otherwise, you're preaching slavery, which is the degradation of a human being. And that, in fact, may be true. Right? To be that type of slavery. This world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual reality. But Guru Maharaj said, Saraswati Thakur's response was, he said, no, Gaudiya Math stands for the dignity of the human race. The most dignified prospect for human beings. And he gave a nice example from that time with regard to Mahatma Gandhi, who's so famous and revered internationally. And so there was a time where Mahatma Gandhi needed an assistant, a servant, what we now would call like executive assistant. That, it was like a big slave, a well-paid slave. There were those, just incidentally, just to throw this out, that when they started offering people wages, you know, people were agrarian before, farming and bartering with what they had farmed. When they started offering people wages, there are those who thought, well, that's just slavery. They didn't care how much you were paid. They thought, that's a type of slavery. But anyway, because das kori beton mori deho premadan, Mahaprabhu said, I just want to be your servant, and if there's any salary involved, beton means, then premadan, give me, you know, prem, love, affection. And then with that, I think as we study in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, the outcome, sometimes ecstasy, the most intense sort of happiness. And we hear those devotees, that's sort of the interest accumulated from premic seva. But Guru Maharaj introduced the conception of compounded interest, which means when the interest comes from serving, the devotees strategically, they take that interest and increase their serving capital. They want the serving capital to expand. They're not interested. Their motive is not some sort of self-remuneration or reward. They want the serving capacity to expand and increase. But, so Gandhi needs that executive slave assistant. And they make it known, like Gandhi's looking for, you know, an assistant. And they didn't bring someone from the so-called servant class. You might think, well, that might be a good choice. People who are accustomed to that sort of thing. But in fact, all of the richest men in India, the most highly educated, well-positioned, influential men in India, they were all volunteering to become Gandhi's slave, servant, executive assistant. The so-called, you know, the higher echelons of society, they were volunteering. Why? And this is Guru Maharaj. Why? Because they're thinking, his name's Mahatma, for starters, right? That should be a giveaway, Mahatma. So it's not actually his name. His name is what? Mohan Das K. Gandhi, something like that. Anyway, but the title Mahatma was given to him. So they're thinking, he's so great, such a great person. Just to be around him, to have any connection with him, will be beneficial for me. Regardless of how much wealth, education, knowledge, experience they have, a few moments of his association, right? They're thinking, one moment's association, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, you get everything. I'll be so improved if I will just be a menial servant of such a great person, anything. Maybe hand him a glass of water or wash his cloth, whatever's required. I'm ready to do that if it means I get some connection with such a great person. Guru Maharaj always gives perfect examples. So, and you can replace Mahatma Gandhi with other people where people would... You might even personally feel that, or, you know, it's a model. I say, oh, yeah, I could see that. But so Guru Maharaj's the point. But when it comes to the supreme entity, the supreme personality of Godhead, would it also apply? That even the least connection on any level would be, we would improve, our existence would be upgraded. Naturally so. If we conceive that there is a supreme entity, a supreme being, then how extraordinary that opportunity would be. So coming in connection with the dust of the lotus feet, the Vaishnava, who, you know, tasmai deyam tato grajam sa pujo cha yata yaham. Krishna, and that's not, he's saying, me and my devotee are interchangeable. Whatever applies to me applies to them. So, it's transformative to, and what it means though is just not in a literal sense. And here I don't mean we won't use the word figuratively, but substantially, to come in connection. We know even if by accident or how Agyata Sukriti can convert into Gyata Sukriti. We've seen with Srila Gurudev. I've seen it with like scanners at the airport. And he goes through and they're like, who is he? There's something, you know, special about him. Or they're appreciating some sort of interaction with him. Or someone who, a polite gesture, which a non-motivated gesture, just doing something because it ought to be done, like sattva-gun, that sort of gesture towards such a personality is contact with the nirguna plane. There's that. But inevitably, agyata sukriti, what is unknown or unconscious, or even accidental, it should convert to willful cooperation for one's betterment. Right? Where I'm willfully cooperating. that implies seva. That really substantially we come in connection with the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee by serving them in some way. And with no other motive than it's that it will please Krishna. It's pleasing to Krishna. Not, oh, how much I'll be benefited, but what it will please Krishna. Krishna will be pleased if his devotee is pleased. If we serve the devotee, that'll be pleasing to Krishna. Because the nature of pure devotion is such, Gurman said, they do not allow a pinprick through which any remuneration can pass. It's airtight, unalloyed devotion. So Krishna is perplexed. And Gurman said, if someone, a third party comes along and serves that devotee, they're doing the desired seva service of Krishna. Krishna will be pleased with them. And the sort of devotion that is in the heart of that devotee, that they personify by a service connection, will be transferred to the heart of the servitor. That's the system. Not a data transfer, not knowledge or information, but devotion. The sort of devotion in the heart of that devotee will transfer to the heart of the servitor. That's tene brahma hrida, a heart-to-heart transaction. Just as when I was studying the Chaitanyastakam of Srila Rupa Goswami, the first one, and some particular verse, I wanted to understand a little more clearly and ask Srila Gurudev about it. Because Guru Maharaj did speak about this. But, and Gurudev started explaining it. And I said, oh, when did you study this? And he said, I've never studied it. And I thought, oh, you know, he could see, I'm like, you're just explaining to me what this, you know, means, and you're telling me you've never studied it. He said, yes. He said, I am Guru Maharaj's servitor. And he was reflecting upon his younger days when he was performing all the, what do you call it? You know, menial service of Guru Maharaj, like taking his cloth, washing his cloth, cleaning the room. And he said, and while he's doing that, Guru Maharaj is in the bathing room, and where he's with taking a lota, and he's pouring water over his head, and he's chanting the Chaitanyastakam while he's doing that. It's like, Sado Pasya Srimandrita Manujakai Pranayatam Bahadbir Givine Girisha Paramesti Pabritibi Sa Bhaktavya Sudham Nijabhajanam Upadishan Satchaitanya Kime Punarapidashor Yashadipadam. And he's doing it while bathing, he's chanting the Chaitanyastakam. And Gurudev is cleaning the floor, he's sweeping it, wiping it with a cloth, and he hears Guru Maharaj doing, so, you know, Raso Dama Kama Buddha. And I thought, oh, what a perfect example. He's performing menial service for Guru Maharaj without any anticipation that by doing this I'll get, other than his love and affection for Guru Maharaj and natural serving inclination. And while doing that, Guru Maharaj is chanting Chaitanyastakam. And through this service connection, it's like a wavelength, a channel. It's being transferred from the heart of Srila Guru Maharaj to the heart of Srila Gurudev. It's an example. Any other question? And so many verses. Nai shamati stavaru rukramangring sprishatyan artha bhagavavir artha mahi yasham parvajo bishekam niskinchana nam navrinita yavat. Mahi parvajo. Parvaja means the dust from the lotus feet of the divine. Mahi parvajo abhishek, to bathe in the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee. There, that's in Prahlad, and then the Rahugana, Bina, similar sloka, I can't recall right now. Saying, without the dust from the lotus feet of the devotee, one cannot become freed from material existence. Yes.
The question from the Philippines. Rupa Vilas Prabhu is asking, we always wanted to speak the truth, but others say it hurts. Does truth hurt? Does truth hurt?
Well, Srila Guru Maharaj, giving himself as an example, we can understand this extraordinary affinity for truth. Remember, satyam param dhimahi. Krishna is the truth. Satyam shivam sundaram. But in different aspects, we can understand the truth. But truth, truthfulness, once Guru Maharaj said, and it's even before Gaudiya Math, somewhere around his college days, that he said he decided one day that from this moment forward, I will always and only speak the truth. This is his vow. He said, from this moment forward, I will always and only speak the truth. And he said, and the world became like a ball of play in my hand. That's what he said. So, Gurudev said, Guru Maharaj is incapable of lying. That's how truthful he is. But there's the saying, what is it? Satyam Bruhyat Priyam Bruhat. That speak the truth and speak it in a pleasing way. Don't speak something false and pleasing, and don't speak a truth that is displeasing or hurtful. So Srila Guru Maharaj said, when he first heard this, it was contrary to his own way of seeing things and thinking. He said, I'm thinking, but he knows he can't dismiss this because it's a Vedic aphorism. But he said, I'm thinking, no, you should speak the truth always and only, and, you know, as they say, let the pieces fall where they may. But you should always speak the truth, whether it's hurtful or speak the truth. But Guru Maharaj said, here it's saying not. It's saying, if this truth that you want to give voice to is hurtful, will cause some pain to others, not to speak that. And so he said, then he came to understand, oh, what is this? It's saying, mercy is above justice. Mercy is a higher principle than justice. So from the plane of justice, they say, no, the truth should be spoken. See, but if it will be unpalatable, it will be hurtful, offend others, not to say that. Be merciful. As we hear in Shakespeare, the line, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth like the gentle rain from heaven. And says, and it's twice blessed, the person who's being the recipient of the mercy and the person who's being merciful. And he also says, you know, the king sits on a throne with a scepter, right? The scepter is the symbol of how do you say, majestic, temporal majestic power. It's a dundum. I mean, it's for the scepter represents the power to chastise. That's why they hold the scepter. It's a club. It represents that the person holding this has the power to enforce. And he said, but mercy is a divine quality. Like the saying, to err is human, to forgive divine. As Gurudev said about one of his devotees, he said, with regard to err is human, and he said, and he's very human. But Gurudev is very divine. So to err is human, to forgive divine. So Shakespeare says that divine power, Guru Maharaj is saying, who can forgive or be merciful? It has to be a person in that position to be. Right. So Shakespeare says it's divine. Practically it's divine. That means God's mercy. said, so if a king makes a decision that is infused with mercy, at that moment, a king is divine. Right? And we know from Vedic perspective, the Rajarshi means like God's representative. So Guru Maharaj said, as he thought about this more, then he could understand, oh, so mercy is above. That what this sloka is telling us indirectly is that mercy is above justice. And that is the domain of Krishna. And if not for mercy, then none of us have any hope for salvation, you know, redemption, or entrance into the upper world. But when we hear Krishna's domain is ruled by love and affection, then we can understand it's the domain of the highest sort of mercy that is ultimately, because we have the Aishwarya of Vaikuntha, the majestic aspect of divinity, the Madhurya, sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Radharani, Braja Gopis, Vrindavan, Nanda Yashoda, Sri Ram, Subal, the cows, Jamuna, peacocks, everything. Sweetness, the land of sweetness. But Mahaprabhu's pastimes characterized by Odarja. The magnanimous distribution of that sweetness. Sometimes Guru Maharaj say, which comes first, the giver or the gift? The gift, in this sense, Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna, Mahaprabhu, the giver of that gift. And the only way that we have any hope or prospect to come in connection with that plane is through mercy of the highest quality. So Rupa Goswami praises Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tishe Nama. To those who are achaitanya, unconscious, not Krishna conscious, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is descended to distribute Krishna consciousness of the highest order, which means Krishna Prem, and as ultimately personified and expressed from the heart of Srimati Radharani, Mahabhav Swarupini Radha Thakurani. Radha Dasyam, the servant of those holy lotus feet. Vrindavan, Radha Padmankitadam, Vrindavan Jaranam. Vrindavan proper means that, again, that Chinmoy soil, what if it's enriched to the highest degree? If its base characteristic is that it's spiritually conscious substance enriched with dedicating tendency. What if it becomes enriched with the highest sort of dedicating tendency? Radha Padmankitadamban. Then, that's Vrindavan proper, and its highest, sweetest expression is the Chinmoy soil that has been enriched, embellished by the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So Tunga Vidyasta Saki as Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur Chaitanya Chandramritam declares, Yata Yata Gaura Padara Vinde Vindeta Bhaktim Krita Punya Rasi tata tatot sarputi hridya kasmat radha padamboja sudamburasi. Saying, the entrance into Krishna Leela is Gaura Leela. The entrance into Vrindavan is in Navadvip. Yata yata Gaura Padaravan, that the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu give your full attention, energy, everything there. Vinde tabhaktim krita punyarasi means those who are sukritivan, sumedasa, refined theistic intellect, they will appreciate this never before opportunity. Anarpita charim chirat koranayavatirna kalo samar payatamunutodvilavrasam subhakti sriyam hari purita sandadyuti kadamba sandipita. Hridaya kundare spuratu. No. Vasa chinandana. Yata tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmani. And what will be the outcome of this? That automatically, subconsciously, deep within the core of your heart, Guru Maharaj said in this way, alluding to Prabodhananda's other way, he said, the Radha Rasa Shuddha Nidhi will begin to flow. How beautiful is that? Radha Padamboja Sudamburasi. That's what he's saying. Radha Rasa Shuddha Nidhi begin to flow. Radha Dasyam. Sanatana Goswami and Brihad Bhagavatamritam, Radha Dasyechava. Same thing. What was the question?
Truth.
Oh, the truth. Yes, okay. Yes. Krishna Lilamrita Sar Tar Sata Shatadar Das Dike. Jahava hoite se chaitanya lila hoy mano hangsa sarovara akshay mano hangsa charaha tahate. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami at the conclusion of the Madhya Lila, making a comparison between Krishna Lila, Gaura Lila. Krishna Lila Amrita Sar, it's the creme de la creme of nectarine substances. Sarva Vedanta Sarva in the Bhagavatam. Same. But on account of it being the highest and ultimate substance, inaccessible except for the highest section of liberated souls. So no hope of ever achieving that. Almost hopeless. But what is Mahaprabhu Gaura Leela? The magnanimous distribution of that divine substance and entrance in that plane that is otherwise practically impossible, inaccessible, to give entrance to everyone. Dash DK means in the 10 directions. That means everywhere, being extended to everyone, everywhere. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Mahavananaya, you are the most magnanimous avatar. Giving the highest thing to the least qualified. Sometimes the devotees, they speak in such a way as to stake their claim by saying, if you want to test you know, the disinfecting, purifying power of this mercy, I can't think of a better candidate than myself. Because that would, if it could cure, you know, disinfect a sinner like me, then that would be a glorious thing. In different ways, they're trying to negotiate a settlement. Narottam Thakur, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's saying, when he describes these beautiful pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and he's saying, but that I somehow came a little late, I wasn't there for that. What is my fortune? Misfortune. We understand he's the vehicle for the expression of Chaitanya Leela. But Saraswati Thakur also mentioned that Narottam Thakur, who may have been around, 3-4 years old at the time of Mahaprabhu's withdrawing from this plane, that's what he's, partially what he's expressing in the song, Yeyani Lo Prema Dana. He's mentioning Mahaprabhu and saying, like, when I think about this opportunity that I missed, remember Mahaprabhu would sometimes be going, Narottam, Narottam, and the devotee saying, who, Narottam, who? He's such a great devotee. Mahaprabhu's crying out for him. And he's maybe a baby, about to appear a baby, but Mahaprabhu left the world, and Narottam's ready to dash his head against the rocks in separation. His feelings are so intense. So by inversion, negative expression, can we measure the depth of positive connection? The genuine devotees feel themselves bereft.
The question from Moscow, Kuntipriya Didi. The question is, what is the criterion of happiness in the slavery of beauty and harmony reality?
What is the happiness?
What is the criterion of happiness?
Oh. Is the happiness or pleasure of whom the devotees are serving called Ashray and Bishay? So there's the object of the service and one who, and of the love and affection, and one who's possessing the love and affection. And in our present position, we misread this as somehow thinking like that we get nothing. It's a misunderstanding. But in fact, it's so great, but we're told, this comes out with Krishna and Charitamritam in the beginning, glorifying the gopis for their unconditional love and saying, there is no fault, no kam, the fault of kam in the gopis' prem for Krishna, because they're genuinely interested in his happiness, who's the object of their love and affection, the happiness of that person. So there's no fault in this. It's not in, and thinking I'll deal with someone in such a way as to make myself happy. No, their genuine interest is the happiness of Krishna. But this is so, and seeing Krishna become happy. That makes the gopis happy and enhance there's no room for improvement on their beauty, yet they become more beautiful. And when Krishna, there's no room for improvement on his beauty, seeing them more beautiful now, it makes Krishna happier and more beautiful. And then they see that Krishna is happier and beautiful, and there's this never-ending, infinite competition of beauty, charm, sweetness, love, and affection, and ecstatic expression. It's one of the reasons why there are contradictory elements in Krishna Leela. So if Krishna and the cowherd boys, they're in, they're herding the cows, and they're playing their flutes and singing and dancing, and it's, you know, nonstop ecstatic expression. Then a demon comes or something to send the pastimes in another direction. And what is the end result? Intensified love and affection. Because at the possibility, everything's so wonderful and perfect, then being presented with the possibility of the loss of Krishna is impossible for premic bhaktas. You understand? If Mahaprabhu said, "Na prema gandasti drapi mehuro krandami so bhagya brahm prakashitam," where he says, "I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema, what to speak of a drop?" And he's saying, "What's the proof positive that I go on living and separation from Krishna?" If you really have love for Krishna, you won't be able to be separated from him. For a moment, you would die. One moment separation would result in death. And here I am living, so it must mean I have no love for Krishna. This is the criterion of pure devotees of the highest order. So, in the midst of their pastimes, when threatened with separation from Krishna, what to speak of, again, within the pastime, the death of Krishna, to see Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, and it looks as though he's going to be killed. We can't properly estimate that. The effect on the hearts of Nanda and Yasoda, they faint on they're restraining Yasoda and Nanda, and then they faint on the banks of the river, Jamuna. And so many others faint. And Krishna's nature is such, it's mentioned by Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamritam, seeing everyone fainted, but not the gopis, then he thinks, "Oh, this is a good opportunity for Rasa Leela." So they have, everyone's fainted. Krishna has a Rasa Leela with the Braja gopis on the hoods of Kaliya. It's one of his pastimes. But we're told Balaram intervenes at some point and says, "Look at what you're doing to, these are your beloved devotees and your by showing these type of pastimes, look at the effect that it has upon them. Please bring this pastime to a close soon." And that's when Krishna's smashing, dancing and smashing the heads of Kaliya. And incidentally, while doing that, he's all the different types of dance there are, he's showing them. But particularly that, the Bharatanatyam with the feet pounding, because he's pounding the heads of Kaliya, which are covered with rubies. And the rubies become crushed, pulverized, and then they enter the waters of the Jamuna, and the Jamuna becomes like rose-colored waters, looking very beautiful. And Kaliya's heads had like 1,000, 100 principal. They're staggering and and he's Krishna knocks some sense into him, and he's coming to his senses, as they say. While his wives are offering prayers, he's hearing that. Kasyanu bhavo shuchadeva vidmahe tavangri reinu sparsha dikara yadvanchana sri lalana charatapo vihaya kaman suchidam dridambrita. How can they know all of these things? See, that's when you hear, we should never think of them in less than a stellar position. How, what do you think of the qualifications to play this role within Krishna Leela? Can only be from beloved associates of the Lord. And then we get hints of what they know or understand by what they say. So they're saying, Lakshmi Devi performed austerities in the Tapovan for lifetimes to get the dust of your lotus feet. How do they know that? These women who are the wives of Kaliya. So what exalted, and they're saying, so what Lakshmi Devi could not achieve, our husband achieved. He can't get the lotus feet of Krishna off his head. Others are begging for a moment. He's covered in Padaraja and ornamented by the lotus feet of Krishna. Tavangri reinu. Rain, that means the same thing. Padaraja. Dust. Tavangri angri reinu means the dust. Your lotus feet. Tavangri reinu sparasha adhikara. He has the adhikar to get, you know, pounded by your holy lotus feet. Mahi Padaraja Abhishek. He's bathed in the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna. He's got the adhikar, qualification, eligibility. Whereas Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, did not. How did our husband become so fortunate? Thus, by playing an opponent and Krishna Leela, playing that role. And we're told later, he offers himself just to show, when the question came about Nitya Leela and these pastimes being recurrent, eternally recurrent, that Gurmar said, just like, you know, the sun will rise tomorrow and there'll be another, and it'll be similar to the way it was today, not exactly. So he's saying, these pastimes, they're eternal, and they're more or less the same, but sometimes they're different. So Kaliya wanted to offer himself as a carrier for future pastimes. If you're ever in need of a carrier, I'm available. When he's being exiled to what Prabhupada said was Fiji, or thereabouts. So, where they have legend, they worship Kaliya there. So Sanatana Goswami Prabhu in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam Tika says, sometimes when a Krura comes to take Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, instead of the chariot, they go on, or there's a chariot, but pulled by Kaliya, or like in the water, or it's an option in Nitya Leela. And also Balaram, who is Ananta, saying, why are you playing with the ordinary snake? If you want to, you know, play with a snake who can give you a run for your money, that's me. And I am eternally available. So he's saying, you know, I could play that role. And he goes, I understand. So, Ekali Ishwara Krishna Sabritya, he wants to serve in that capacity also. But as aho bhaki yam stana kalaku tam jagam shayapaya yadapya sadvi lebhe gatim datu chitam tatonyam kamba dayalum sharanam brajema. When Uddhava to Vidura praising Krishna and saying how merciful he is that Putana, she appeared as a nurse, a wet nurse, who can feed a baby. And Yashoda and Rohini, oh, they see she's so beautiful and sweet looking, and you know, and they, oh yeah, the baby's over there, and she takes the baby, pushes her nipple into his mouth. It's covered with poison. Krishna sucks out the poison, the milk, her pran, her life air, everything. So the devotees are saying, so if that, and she be liberated to the position of mother, saying, then what about those cows that Krishna sucked their udders and sucked their milk in the Brahma Vimohan Leela, who were offering their breast milk to Krishna with love and affection? What about that? I was just using it as a, these are standards of measurement in dealing with the infinite. Our standard of measurement will not apply there. Jnane prayasam udapasanam anta eva. We have to learn a new standard of measurement. Shabda praman amnai, descending standard knowledge from that plane. And under the influence of that, we can have a glimpse of the workings of the infinite. As Guru Maharaj said, remember, the infinite, he sleeps on a bed of infinite. Right? Meaning ananta. So Krishna's, his bed is spiritually conscious, infinite. In the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, when he's a little child, a toddler, this a big like cobra crawls into the yard. It's actually Anantadev. And he's lying there, and they all come out and they see Nimai, he's lying on this massive cobra, like happily, like taking a nap, like the way toddlers nap. But it's Anantadev appearing that way in the pastime. Then he goes away after a while, but he wanted to render that service to the like nap time for the, what do they call it? Daycare. Daycare for Nimai, provided by Anantadev. So, and this is so astonishing, the criterion of the gopis' happiness being inextricably connected to the happiness of Krishna, that's why, one of the reasons why Krishna's thinking, what is it like to be in their position? I know what it's like to be the object of this type of love and affection. That I know. But what would it be to be the asrai, to possess that type of love and affection? So it's such a wonderful thing that Krishna himself descends as Mahaprabhu to have that experience. But don't think that this means like that there's no enjoyment. There's more enjoyment and of a higher quality, quality and quantity that is beyond our imagination. Because at present, we're, as Prabhupada said, our eternal love for Krishna is being pervertedly manifested as a lust for matter. So our concept of happiness is upside down and backwards. Yes, any other question?
There is one question from Russia. It is in Russian, actually, and
And you read Russian.
I will try to
translate it
and interpret it correctly. Mm-hmm. So the question is from Plotnikov Nikolai. Okay. So he asks, Saraswati Thakur, as a revolutionary innovator, he implemented a lot of unusual things into the movement, Hare Krishna movement, just only for the one reason, because they could be respectful in other society, especially in the Western society, where the preaching was taking place. So, for example, in India as well, for example, the color of the clothes.
I understand.
He was even ready. The color of the cloth, the second initiation, the worshipping Shalagram Shila, and he also was ready even to feed with the meat the Westerners, for the sake of preaching. So, taking into consideration that in Russia nowadays, Hare Krishna movement is under suppression. We are taken by the majority of people as some like weird people wearing these weird clothes and so on and so on. Mm-hmm. Is it theoretically possible to bring some changes or like to find a compromise in the outlook, for example?
Well, Guru Maharaj compared him to a great general, right? And like Napoleon. And so the word is, although this may be an odd word in Russian translation, but it's unorthodox. So no pun intended there. And what do they say? That Napoleon, before he was appointed the general for the French and the Austro-Hungarian War with the French, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, they were winning. Then the tide changed, Napoleon's appointed, and it shifts. Now they're losing. And the king calls then his generals and said, what's the problem? And they tell him, this new French general, he doesn't know how to fight properly. You understand? And he's saying, we're losing because he doesn't know how to fight properly. Yes. And what they're referring to, there were standard fighting methods and form you will attack, and they're all fighting by these rules, actually. But Napoleon, and one such thing was that you'd see, where's the weakest part in the formation of the enemy? And attack that weak spot and then create an opening like that. And his strategy was, where's their strongest point? Attack them there. And if you topple that, the whole thing goes down. That was his strategy. Right. So Guru Maharaj said, Saraswati Thakur, he was that type of innovator, revolutionary. And the reason I mentioned this is to qualify it. In other words, if you're not of that stature, then you should think 1,000 times before introducing something that is non-standard. So, and I would say this too, in the modern world, practically East and West, the way people If this was 50 or 60 years ago, when people were more like I forget how far you'd have to go back. Yeah, like 70 years ago, when people were more conservatively dressed and everything, that might be a little different. In the, let's be realistic, in the modern world, and I'm not making any judgments on the way people dress and their clothing, we're no longer that exotic. We're not the strangest looking people walking down the street. So, and again, I don't want to go into much detail, but if they can accommodate so many other unorthodox styles of clothing, attire, etc., I don't think that making that sort of adjustment is necessary always. There may be circumstances where it is. Sure, but it's just like in a church. To be a member of a church, you don't have to dress like a priest or a nun. Yet there are priests and nuns, and they have some sort of uniform. Right? So, and just with the worldwide proliferation of yoga and yogic attire, and really things have changed. So it's an old argument that's, as I say, outside of circumstantial necessity, has really run the course. It's the least problem. It's not, I don't think it is that significant. But, and the Guru Maharaj said, it's like tantamount to like an undercover position. So, but mainly what is important is that somebody is sincere in their belief, their practices, their culture, and regardless of how they dress, that they themselves become good association, like we speak of the Vaishnavas as sparshamani, touchstone, so that by connecting with them, it's a transformative experience, however they might be dressed. But I think that's the least of it, actually. So what it, but the dress is there to be respected by the public. That's why in this country you see at an airport, special seats, and they say, who are these people? And then they have a icon, like an emoji for a monk, and saying these seats are reserved, like are first to be given to monks. Who will board first on the aircraft? Monks. How do they identify the monks? By their dress. So just any uniform, any brand, any company, they have a uniform by which people identify their members. So it's something like that. Right. Like when devotees would ask Prabhupada, what is a sikha? And it means different things. We know it's like the flame. When you see a ghee lamp, that's also sikha. But another meaning is flag. So in the beginning, Prabhupada used to call it flag. He's like, you're not keeping flag? Where is your flag? You know. And what is the purpose of a flag? Identification. So you say, there's a situation where people need to go into a suppressed position. That we understand. Then that's an exemption. It's extraordinary. You understand. They're exempt when such conditions occur. So, but that, you know, that's not a topic for extensive discussion right now. But I want, my point of emphasis here will be that on spiritual practices, being sincere, a sincere practitioner, being good association and seeking good association. And that will transcend dress. Hare Krishna. But we see Saraswati Thakur, he adopted the dress of a sannyasi. And he showed how actually Tridandi sannyas is even in the Bhagavatam, that it was not a recent, as ancient. Because if you look in the Avanti Brahman section, it says Trivenu means three bamboos he was holding. So Saraswati Thakur, he took that dress and what is generally associated is the color of renunciation in India, the Ruktavesh means red dress, saffron dress. But we see his attendants, he had them in experimental dress, like Western priest or monk, you know, he was flanked by them. But he, at the source, the person saying that a youth hostel could cater from a nearby restaurant for non-vegetarians, he himself, as Guru said, Jati Rajaganai Pari Sevya, he's the ultimate, the king of the Jatis, of the sannyasis. So his principles, what he was doing, are beyond suspicion, or he's the personification of strict adherence. And that person, as Guru Maharaj says, Shiti Lidividi Raga Radhya Radhe Shadvani, he's willing to slacken principles for others to give them entrance. But he himself is the personification of strict adherence to, you know, Vaishnava Sadachar, behavior, practice, etc. So there are many things to be considered, because we don't want to risk. Guru Maharaj said, Kaivalya means preserving the purity of something, not to mix something else in, thereby diluting it and making it less potent or even impotent. It turns into something else. I can say, in the time of plague or epidemic, pandemic, the desire to vaccinate everyone is laudable. That's what we want. We think everyone should be vaccinated. That's what we, that is, will be the program. But the vaccinate, what will be all important is the vaccine, what we're injecting them with. Otherwise, just to vaccinate everyone, but not with the proper vaccine, defeats the purpose. So the potency must be there, then the method of distribution and inoculation and that can vary according to, you know, the necessity of circumstance. But the all-important thing is that substance. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Namo Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Garadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Dasa Raghunath. Echai Gochai Kori Charana Bandhan. Jaha Hoite Vignanash Abhista Puran. Echai Gochai Jar Mui Taro Das. Tansabara Padarenu Mora Panchagras. Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanevas. Janome Janome More Abilas. Echai Gochai Jabe Braje Koilo Vas. Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korilo Prakas. Anande Bolo Hari Vaja Vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayaman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyas. Purinam Sankirtan Koe Narottamadas. Hey Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Pariraja Kacharja Sitara Sadashri Sri Majpila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Dai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Dai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Dai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Guranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ji Ki Dai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Dai. Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai, Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gova Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gova Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadeep Dham Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswatmat Ki Jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai, Ganga Devi Jumuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Om Vishnupad Vishvavarena Srila Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Madhacharya Vrinda Ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai, Seva Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Go Premanande.